Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
There it is. Fantasy Sports Today. Kicking it off for the next 3 hours. Excited to be here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hope you're relaxing on your Saturday. Maybe you got in a workout early this morning. I don't know what your routine is. I would like to say I did. I didn't do that. I just came and prepped in the studio and was ready to go. So hopefully those of you out there are excited about football season being upon us. And you know, we're going to get into a lot today. In just 20 minutes, we'll have Ryan O'Halloran, who writes for the Denver Post, covers the Broncos beat, so we'll get some insight as to what the Broncos have going on this preseason and looking ahead from a football perspective and a fantasy football perspective for the 2018 season. We have Kevin and I will be going through the AFC South after the Broncos, after we wrap up the Broncos. We're going through the AFC South. We'll start it probably an hour from now going through that. And, you know, some other interesting stories around the world of sports, some even political, which we can get into perhaps in hour three. I'm not going to overwhelm you with it, but, you know, it's a story. So we'll talk about LeBron James and President Trump and all that kind of stuff. And your thoughts, feel free to tweet at us today at FNTSY Radio. Kevin Walsh is at the Kevin Walsh. I almost forgot it. I'm at Mike Blewitt, B-L-E-W-I-T-T. So, Kevin, first of all, how are you, bud?
I'm doing good. There is a lot of news right now in sports, and I want to make sure I mention one because it can be glossed over, and understandably so. Conor McGregor officially back. The fight October 6th against...
You're such a super fan. Oh, my God.
Not really.
You can get out of the open with talking.
I mean, if
you love him. It's okay.
Yeah, but it's that doesn't change the fact that he is the biggest star in this sport. It is a massive story. It has nothing to do with super fandom.
It's a story, yes. But
he's the one UFC fighter. Of course it is. That's why I said I just wanted to make sure that we mentioned it. We're not going to spend any amount of time on it past my mention.
3 hours.
Yeah.
3 hours to bring up Connor. It's 9:06. We're going to be here for another 2 hours and 53 minutes. And you, in the first 15 seconds of talking, you're like, hey, Conor McGregor, I thought you were going to bring up the LeBron tweet thing. But
you already did. You alluded to it. You said hour number three. I was rolling through with your verbal rundown.
All right. Well, I appreciate you rounding out the news there, Kev. So this is Kevin Walsh. He's going to be with me here, taking him through Broncos, AFC South, all that kind of stuff. What did I say? Yeah, AFC South. I want to make sure I got it right. So so good stuff all the way around as far as the show is concerned. A lot of good items on the docket. But ultimately, football is upon us. The Hall of Fame game was the other night. It was relatively unwatchable, if I'm being honest. But we saw a couple of guys that are on fantasy radars, which I think, and I've been of this opinion all along, that Lamar Jackson, I'm not bashing the guy, it's his first game out there. It was pretty rough. He played in the second half against the Bears, mostly guys that will be cut. And it was rough. It was uneven. 4 for 10, 33 yards. He threw an interception. He threw a touchdown to Hayden Hurst, which is a good, and they're apparently camp roommates, so it's a nice little rookie connection there. But I think you saw some of the things that you expect to see from a rookie. He was a little jittery in the pocket. He tucked and ran a little bit too much. But Such is life. It's his very first action out there. I don't think it cements him as a backup. I don't for the entirety of the year. But I've been of the opinion all along, Kevin, as I've noted on this show many times, despite the fact that they have a really tough schedule in the first half of the year, I don't think that they're going to be so bad that it'll force a Flacco benching and then bringing Lamar Jackson in. I was on the show Roto Experts in the Morning yesterday with Jake Seeley, and his point all along has been the second they signed Robert Griffin, he thought they were drafting Lamar Jackson so that they could have a guy with a similar skill set in the building to teach him, to learn from him, to show him that this isn't the way. You can't be running around all the time, otherwise you're going to be me, which derailed his career, obviously. So my concern with Lamar Jackson has been that he ran 400 times his junior and senior year. Is not casting dispersions on his throwing talent, but he is going to have to learn to cut that down dramatically. He is a very talented quarterback overall, but you know, an uneven start for Lamar Jackson. I just don't think he's. I think they're going to be good enough to go 9-7. Scott and Jake and I all went through Scott Engel, Fantasy Hall of Famer, and Jake and I all went through the schedule yesterday. And look, I think they'll be somewhere between 7-9, 9-7, challenging for a playoff spot. And I don't think it's going to be because Flacco's bad, Lamar Jackson comes in and saves the season. I think they'll be, you know, back and forth all year.
So last year, this defense ranked third in DVOA. The year before that, they were sixth. One of few teams that had back-to-back top six seasons defensively. So you know that what you're going to get from that defense is probably enough to keep you competitive. Just, to me, the book is out on Joe Flacco. We know what he is. Now, I wouldn't necessarily throw the season away. That's not what I'm saying. But I think that their ceiling is significantly higher with Lamar Jackson. And I don't disagree with you. It's not as if he went and lit the world on fire in that Hall of Fame game. So that's not why I'm of the opinion that they should roll with Lamar week one. I was of that opinion before that game. And I agree with you. He was running a little bit more than you would like to see even in that game. That also comes with playing with a third-string offensive line. I'd like to see him out there with the first
team. Against
the
third-string defense, though, too. You have to take that as a zero sum because...
Well, frankly, the defense was getting the better of that third-string offensive line.
I agree with that.
You know? So I think there is talent on that on the starting offensive line. Ronnie Staley's looked good. Marshall Yanda back. One of the best, if not the best, offensive guards in football. And I think, too, is if you're going to be able to lock them in for, let's just conservatively say, a top 10 defensive season, then you need explosion from that offense. You don't get that from Flacco. Like I don't really think there's any argument of Flacco. Flacco is not good at quarterback, period. He's not. And to me, now,
it's contract Joe Flacco, though.
We did have that conversation. If it's real, if
we
contract
talk about national TV Rondo when we talk basketball, this is contract Flacco, who threw 11 touchdowns and zero interceptions in the playoff run and won a Super Bowl MVP, making him $120 million richer. I screwed up their schedule, by the way. It isn't tough at the beginning, which is why I think there won't be a switch. It starts out Bills at Bengals, Denver. We'll talk to Ryan O'Halloran about that in a few. At Steelers, at Browns, at Titans, Saints, at Carolina, Pittsburgh. It's tough there in October. At Tennessee, New Orleans, at Carolina, Pittsburgh. That's a tough little four-game stretch. But I don't think they'll go winless. They always seem to split with the Steelers. They could take out the Bengals and the Bills and Denver and the Browns. Like this, let's just say they're 4-5 after nine. If Flacco's abysmal and they're 4-5, yeah, maybe a switch. But they're going to run the ball a lot, and it's going to be an Alex Collins kind of offense. They have veteran wide receivers. They could play more ball control passing. Here's my thoughts on Flacco. Yeah, he's not great, but I've always thought that their approach to his passing offense is more old school, meaning he's got a huge arm. Let's let him air it out. It's why they've always had like burners like Torrey Smith and other guys. Now they have John Brown. they always have guys like that so they can hit a home run ball. Clearly, every offense tries to utilize that, but I've always felt that they put him in low percentage passing situations. It drives his completion percentage down, and his numbers are never going to compare favorably. You can also, they're not mutually exclusive arguments. You can also make the argument that he can be inaccurate at times, and he's not great, but I do think that the offense at times has not helped him.
I mean, even if his completion percentage, the yards per attempt doesn't justify what he's done, if he's going to air it out all the time, he's not good. It's that simple. And if the plan is to run the football more often, then that's even more of a reason to have Lamar be the quarterback, because then you're not going to be putting him in a situation.
I don't want
situation.
Him running it.
No. But you want, then the defense has to account for him in the run game. The plan, I agree with you. You don't need him to run the ball 1,000 times. No one's saying that. But it's a lot more. Look at Lamar Miller last year with Watson in. He was a better running back. And a simple part of that is you now have to account for 11 as opposed to 10. I'm telling you, these defenses would much rather see Flacco out there than Lamar Jackson. They just would. And this is a team.
Yeah, I think to some extent there's some validity to that. Last year, to give you a sense, they were 7th in rushing attempts last year. So, I think they're right in that wheelhouse again. They probably hope to be even higher. And look, I said this to Jake yesterday. I think people don't realize that the Ravens were inches, literally, from being 10-6 last year. They went 9-7 and missed the playoffs. That miraculous Andy Dalton touchdown pass in week 17 that knocked them out of the playoffs and put the Bills in made them knocked them down from 10-6 to 9-7. So, they were in a bad team last year at times, clearly frustrating offensively, last in net yards per attempt and 29th in passing yards. They only threw for 3,000 yards as a team. It's crazy. So, but in any event, so that's it. We'll let's put that on ice for now. Unfortunately, we didn't see much from the Bears at all. Jake Seely yesterday brought up the one thing that you could glean from it is that Benny Cunningham might be on the roster bubble there, and because they gave him a lot of work early. Clearly, they didn't play Cohen and they didn't play Howard. So there's a thought process that maybe Benny Cunningham may be on the roster bubble. I'm just trying to bring that up. Yeah, so Taquan Mizell. Well, Ryan Nall is the guy that he brought up as a college free agent this year. He's more of a fullback type, but he is a guy that did carry the ball a lot in college. He's not just somebody that's going to come in and block. He could be their third running back that sees carries. So Benny Cunningham, for those of you in deeper leagues or looking in those best ball leagues where you're trying to back up Jordan Howard or Tariq Cohen, Benny Cunningham may not even be on this roster. It could be Ryan Nall. And that's really the only thing I could tell you about the Bears, because Trubisky didn't play and none of the receivers played, and we didn't see anything out of the tight ends, Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen and the whole deal. So really not much at all to take from the Bears. I think whenever you're playing in a Hall of Fame game and it's your 5th preseason game, hardly anybody's going to play in that first one.
Yeah, I think the one thing for any Bears preseason game, though, is just kind of trying to see what you can pick up from Nagy and just some of the designs of the plays. Like, there was just a couple of, misdirection, speed stuff. I think that you can pretty easily see Tariq Cohen being the guy for. Maybe it was just me being super excited to see football again, but I know there was at one point, I think it was Benny Cunningham who had it. He popped like a 30-yard run off just a quick counter play. And I was like, oh, that's Tariq Cohen. That's to the house. Got to draft Tariq Cohen. I think that maybe is the one thing for any Bears preseason game, is just trying to pick up whatever you can in terms of scheme.
Yeah, I've said it before. I'm not as high on the Bears as other people. I talked to Jake a little bit about it yesterday. He is higher on them than I am, but I'm a little too worried about the sheer number of new additions there. New head coach, offensive coordinator that's never coached in the NFL before. Inexperienced quarterback. Jake likes Trubisky way more than I do, but even he would concede he's probably a mid-range QB2. Like, he thinks he'll elevate from where he's ranked as a low-end QB2 to a mid-range QB2. That's where Jake kind of expects him to end up. Jake Seeley, for those of you that aren't familiar, can be found on Twitter at AllInKid. He's a number one accuracy ranker in all of fantasy football last year, as confirmed by Fantasy Pros. So good guy to follow on Twitter, and it was good to do a show with him yesterday. So we do have Ryan O'Halloran coming up for the Broncos right after the break. We have Hall of Fame stuff to talk about. We'll do that in the third segment of the hour after we wrap up Broncos. Give me your 1 minute snippet, Kevin, on this Hall of Fame class. Anybody in particular that you were excited that got in general?
Maybe I'll see how many times you can call me a fanboy throughout this show. I mean, Brian Dawkins, it was it's amazing to see him get in.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, yesterday, you know,
I actually like the fact that he's in.
He deserves to be in. I'm not as biased as you think. If you look at it, these
he
things
wasn't
check
a slam
out.
Dunk.
But you know, he's one of my favorite players I've ever seen. Even if he wasn't an Eagle, when he went to the Broncos, the intensity that he brought to it was just it was so palpable. It was so real. You know, the nickname was perfect, Weapon X, and I just think that he was a fantastic player. This is one of the things that is exciting for me now, just in terms of, you know, I'm now becoming more familiar with like an entire Hall of Fame class as these guys are going in, like all guys that I've seen. I feel like this is one of the first where I'm like, oh, I know him, because these are all big time names.
Yeah, agreed. So we'll talk about that more at length. Dawkins was a five-time All-Pro, so it's a pretty good resume. So Kevin and I will come back. We'll talk to Ryan O'Halloran, at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter, of the Denver Post. We're talking Broncos right after the break. It's Mike and Kevin, Fantasy Sports Today, for the next 3 hours on FNTSY Sports Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you after the break.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Mike Blewett and Kevin Walsh on FNTSY Radio. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Kevin is at the Kevin Walsh. And give us a call today if you like at 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. So for those of you listening on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app or on TuneIn Radio or iHeart Radio or a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country, thank you. We appreciate it. And hope you're enjoying your Saturday morning. So we're going to be bringing Ryan O'Halloran in here in just a moment in order to talk Broncos. So, Kev, let's get started. Like, give me your initial thought on the Broncos before we get Ryan in here. Just wanted to make sure. Actually, Ryan's ready, so we'll bring him in right now. Ryan, thanks for joining us. I know you had a big offseason yourself in moving from the Jaguars beat where you and I initially spoke to Colorado, which, I got to be honest, one of my favorite states. So hopefully you've settled in nicely.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Good to talk to you again. I got here May 12th and been plugging away ever since. I give Colorado the training camp weather edge over Florida.
Yeah. I'll bet the humidity has dropped by many, many multiples. So
yeah,
that's a good thing. That's a good thing for you. So look, this team obviously made an absolutely necessary move during the off season in order to get Case Keenum in there, who's coming off a career year. And it should stabilize a quarterback position that, to put it nicely, was inconsistent. So initial thoughts, I know you had an article yesterday saying that Keenum finally threw an interception, which is good news because it seems like he's been really consistent throughout camp.
Yeah, I mean, it took six practices for his first turnover. And he just, you know, he looks like a veteran quarterback in terms of his command, in terms of where he's going with the football. stepping up in the pocket. He's not giving up on plays because he knows he's not going to be hit. So he's working on, getting other guys involved. So, but you're right. This quarterback position since Peyton Manning retired has been a total debacle. Paxton Lynch, the former first round pick, is running with the twos, really up and down. Yesterday was not very good. So, the fact that Keenum is in place, there's not a quarterback competition. It is a lot of Vance Joseph to really focus on the rest of the offense and also getting some guys up to speed on defense.
Ryan, Case Keenum kind of, I think, got a bad rap while he was in St. Louis. I blame a lot of that for Jeff Fisher. I think that he almost ruined Goff immediately. Foles almost retired, and I think Keenum is kind of the same. So when you're watching him out there, does he feel a lot closer to the quarterback that we saw in Minnesota led them to that NFC championship game, or do you think maybe that was a fluke?
No, I think he's taken that momentum, that confidence, and carried it over to Denver. He's having to learn a new offense, but that doesn't look like that's been an issue. So, with Keenum, is one thing I talked to him about earlier this offseason was he always had the confidence he could play on an every week basis in the NFL. It's just a matter of, getting that opportunity. And you mentioned the Rams. He started that season 4-5. But then they, replaced him with Goff. And then last year, the Vikings situation with Bradford injured, Case got his shot. So, he has 25, 30 starts somewhere in that range, he looks like he's a more seasoned veteran when he's on the practice field.
So, for fantasy purposes, look, changes have been made at the coaching positions, which they did in the middle of the year, basically last year. And now they went out and they drafted Royce Freeman. He's been a favorite of a lot of fantasy football drafters. But right now, the depth chart isn't empty beyond him. So what does that running back competition look like between himself and Booker, D'Angelo Henderson, all guys that have been drafted in these last couple of seasons?
Yeah, I mean, it's fluid. And you're really not going to figure it out until the first two preseason games. And, Devontae Booker took the initial first team rep all the first 5 days of practice. Royce Freeman took it yesterday. Where we jumped to a conclusion there, Royce Freeman also took third team reps. So they are working, those two guys, plus D'Angelo Henderson has emerged a little bit, gained some praise from Bill Musgrave, the offensive coordinator. So maybe this is a three-person race. So it's going to be one of those things where you take it all the way through Labor Day until Vance Joseph says, okay, this guy's going to be our starter. This guy's going to be our third down back, and this guy may be our change of pace person.
For you watching these guys just at the start of training camp, and I know it's early, so it could be tough to tell, but has one of them stood out within this group that you think ends up getting that job?
I mean, I've been on the Royce Freeman train since the offseason practices, just because you don't draft a guy in the third round for him to be a role player. He had a ton of carries at Oregon, a ton of production. Okay, draft him and play him. Devontae Booker averaged less than 4 yards a carry last year. That's the reason they added all these running backs. So, it could be one of those things where Devontae Booker gets the ceremonial start against Seattle week one, but very quickly Royce Freeman rises up and establishes himself as the number one.
Yeah, we're with Ryan O'Halloran. He's the Broncos beat writer for the Denver Post. You can find him on Twitter, at Ryan O'Halloran. It's RyanOhalloran, just for purposes, but obviously you can go to our feed because we tweeted him out earlier. Now, as a function of that running game, clearly they have the left tackle from last year, Garrett Bowles, first-round pick. He worked his way into the lineup last year. They had the offseason addition of Ronald Leary last year as well. Do you think this offensive line is molding into shape as being improved from where they were the last season or two?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big positives from Broncos' standpoint a week in the camp is that all five guys have practiced every day. Yeah, you mentioned Ronald Leary. He missed the offseason with a knee. Jared Beldier, the new right tackle, formerly of Arizona and Oakland, he missed the entire offseason program because of foot. But both those guys have been out there every day. They're getting their snaps managed. Connor McGovern has solidified himself as the right guard after competing with Metalik Watson in the spring. So I think if all five are there in week one, they will be improved. I think Garrett Bowles will benefit from Valdir's presence as a mentor and Leary's presence on the field as a left guard. So they are confident this group will be better.
Ryan, let me ask you about these wide receivers, because there's a lot of hype about the receiving cores within this division. People love Hill and Watkins. People like the Raiders' new additions, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams maybe pop for the Chargers. And I think people are really overlooking the front combination of Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, but you also have Courtland Sutton, who they drafted this year. So how do you feel about this receiving core? Because I feel like it's being drastically overlooked.
I agree. Hyperbole is a big thing at this time of year, but Courtland Sutton's been the best player on the Broncos in practice.
Wow.
He is running with the ones. I mean, if I was Bill Musgrave, I'm changing my offense. He was probably going to run a lot of 11 personnel anyways, but Sutton makes a highlight play just about every day, doesn't drop any passes. Off of that, Emmanuel Sanders has had a great camp as well, and you know what you're going to get from Demaryius Thomas. So I think that trio is being overlooked in terms of not only the division, but the league. And then you add in a rookie like Deshaun Hamilton, who has done some good things as well. So, I mean, the addition of Sutton is really going to help Thomas and Sanders.
That's a really good receiving core. The two rookies whom I both like, it's good news to hear that Sutton has been as good as he is, because I was almost looking at Hamilton at times as more than I was at Sutton, because I thought they got such great value out of him in the fourth round.
Yeah, and you wonder why Sutton lasted until the second round. You know, it's one of those mysteries. But you know, he reminds me of Allen Robinson when he came out of Penn State and played for the Jaguars. Same kind of body, red zone, 50-50 ball becomes more like an 80-20. So I think Bronco fans should be excited about Sutton.
Yeah. So, from a macro perspective, from last year to this year, you know, Vance Joseph obviously had a tough first year, but because of the quarterback play, when you pour over some of the statistics, you realize what a bad position the defense was in so often, because they couldn't move the ball. They were constantly, I mean, their opponents had the best field position in the league last year because of their inability to move the ball. Turning the ball over tons of times. They had the most turnovers basically in the league, or second most in the league. So Vance Joseph has to feel on some level like he was constantly snake bitten last year. They still squeaked out 5 wins. While they may not be considered to be the class of the division along with the Chiefs and Chargers, they have to feel like they've got a shot here, because play was so bad at times last year. If it just regresses to the middle, they pick up 4 more wins.
Sure. And you know, they believe that they can be atop this division, can go worse the first, because it is so wide open. And you mentioned the defense being put in tough spots, but they'll be the first ones to tell you they didn't make anything happen last year either. When the offense had a sudden change and gave it up, the defense would give up a touchdown. They wouldn't react with a third down stop, force a field goal. So I think the addition of Bradley Chubb helps that. Will help Von Miller, will help this defense. So it's, you know, if you're Vance Joseph, you have to feel comfortable that you finally have the quarterback, because really a coach without a quarterback is a coach without a chance. And that was Vance Joseph last year.
Ryan, for the defense, I think that it can carry this team. I do think the offense is underrated, but 2015, top defense DVOA. 2016, top defense DVOA. Even last year, in a down year, they still finished top 10. But the one thing that does catch my eye is this is the first year in a while where no Aqib Talib. How have they done, in your eyes, filling his absence?
Well, Bradley Roby, the former first-round pick who was that third guy for several years, has moved up to number 2 corner, playing outside the whole time. Chris Harris is still the one. He'll move into the slot and sub-package. But they got some depth issues. They signed journeyman Tremaine Brock to be that nickel. He has a hamstring injury. So they have Isaac Yiadom, a rookie, Brendan Langley, a second-year guy, C.J. Smith, a journeyman. If Chris Harris goes down for any length of time, they're in big trouble. And so they got to figure out if they can rely on a third, fourth, fifth corner, because they play so much dime, is that they're going to need some of those guys. The same thing at safety. You have Darian Stewart, a 30-year-old free safety, all the other safeties are younger than 25. So I think that's been a big part of this offseason, is to get those guys up to speed so they can produce takeaways.
As a Boston College alum, I'll sign off on Justin Simmons and Ike Yottam as hopefully helping out this team long-term. But Ike Yottam's a good physical player. But to your point, as far as ball coverage skills, if Harris went down, I think they'd be in trouble. So I felt like they got a break when the Browns took Denzel Ward. There's going to be a lot of focus on Bradley Chubb for, frankly, the rest of his career. So what are early returns on him? They have to feel like they got a gem there, because some people thought he might be the best player in the whole draft.
Yeah, and you know, that's from the Broncos' perspective. They would have had a real tough decision if Chubb was off the board. You know, do they go quarterback? Do they go Denzel Ward? Well, they ran the card up for Chubb. You know, they're working him at strong side linebacker in a 3-4. You know, in their, you know, sub-package pass rushing, they, you know, put him at defensive end, puts his hand on the ground, which is what he did at North Carolina State. He is a big, big guy to teach how to cover. He lifts him at 275 pounds. You know, he's made a couple plays running down the seam, but I think most of the time, if he's going to be in coverage, then I'll just stick him in his zone and have him, you know, keep his eyes on the quarterback. But, you know, yesterday, just for one pass rushing note, he was working with the second team. It went right around Cyrus Quandre, a backup left tackle. He would have sacked Paxton Lynch if it was a game. So I think the Broncos are looking forward to see how Chubb plays in these preseason games. Probably limited duty, but they at least want to get him acclimated to that new position so he'll be ready for week one.
Ryan, let me just quickly ask you about the tight end position. Jake Butt had a high pedigree coming out of college, but because of the injury, he fell far. Broncos might have got some serious value, so this is his first year. What are the early returns on Jake Butt?
Very impressive. You know, he had shown a lot of promise in the offseason practices, and that's continuing when the pads go on. Just fluid as a receiver. I mean, personally, I don't care if you can block as a tight end, just catch the ball. And, you know, they've been lining him all over the place. You know, he's been impressive. It is the red zone, also, like, you know, in the middle of the field, going, you know, going down and covering, beating linebackers and whatnot. So Jeff Heuermann can't get on the field. You know, he was the starter the first day of camp. He has knee soreness. He's missed almost a week. So Jake Butt has taken advantage of the opportunity after missing last year than ACL. I think he'll be a big part of this passing game as well. And you get back to those receivers, if you roll out Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton, Jake Butt against Seattle, Seahawks may have some issues covering all four of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that. Jake Butt would have been an absolute lock for at least the second round last year if he hadn't torn his ACL in that bowl game. And when you compare him to this year's prospects, I think he compares favorably. I think he would have a similar profile, if not better, than Hayden Hurst and some of the other guys, Mike Gesicki and the other ones that were drafted very early in this class. So that's good news and could be a really interesting fantasy sleeper. So I'll ask you, in totality of this team, Vegas has them right now at a 7.5 over under. The Broncos think that they can challenge. What would your personal expectations be for this team? And what do you think would be the pitfalls or the upside?
Yeah, well, start with the positives. I think they're going to be dynamic in the passing game. I haven't gone 9-7 making a wild card. I have the Chargers winning the division. So I think it'll be a success that in that regard, go from 5-11 to 9-7. Positives, why you feel good, is they'll be dynamic in the passing game, as I said. I think with Keno, with his receivers, with his tight end, you know, they want to run it, obviously, but I think they'll also do what's best to get down the field. So pitfalls is, like every other team, it's depth. Some places on this team, they have an embarrassment of riches, defensive line, receiver, probably running back, but their offensive line depth is unproven. Their inside linebacker depth, if Brandon Marshall gets hurt, they're in big trouble. And we mentioned the corner depth. So to me, that's the number one pitfall is, can this team stay healthy?
Got it. So yeah, depth an issue. That is Ryan O'Halloran. Great stuff as always, Ryan. We appreciate it. Hope to talk to you again during the season. That's Ryan O'Halloran from the Denver Post. You can catch him on Twitter at Ryan O'Halloran. Have a good season and enjoy the lack of humidity at Broncos training camp.
All right, fellas. Always good talking to you now.
All right, take care. So that's it about the Broncos. We'll come back. We'll wrap up some discussion on that. I think it's pretty interesting, Kevin. He may have changed my mind about a couple of different things, but always good to get a new sense of what teams have going on. You know,
time to get high on the Broncos. I've been telling you.
I know. I've been on the other side of that discussion. I haven't thought they were going to be bad, but I don't know if they were going to make the playoffs. In any event, let's come back. We'll talk Broncos after this on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back after the break.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Saturday morning.
Mike, do you have a read? I have a little update for you.
I do have a read. Give me a second.
Your thing.
Thank you for reminding me. When you want to win your fantasy football league, you simply must go to the very best source of information you can find. And that's a rotoexperts.com exclusive edge package. You can find items from Jake Seeley in there, the King Scott Engel, George Kurtz, Brandon Murchison, Brandon Williams. We have a lot of Brandons. So please go to rotoexperts.com and go to the Exclusive Edge Draft Package. You enter promo code WINNER at checkout for a special discount and win your fantasy football league. So I changed that one on the fly, by the way. So I know you like the improv there. So what was the thing that you had to add to me?
It's going to apply to our AFC South talk. We just got a bit of an update. Titans fill their safety void. Jonathan Cypern, for anybody that missed it, out for the year, torn ACL. Supreme. They just signed Kenny Vaccaro.
Yep.
Off the market.
I knew that was going to happen. And Eric Reed is, I knew it. And I knew it was going to be Vaccaro. And Eric Reed is still a free agent. It's a crime that is happening to that guy. And I get it, and I don't care what side of the anthem discussion you're on. I'll never call it an anthem protest because nobody's protesting the anthem. But it's a disaster. Eric Reed isn't an age. You could have made an excuse for Kaepernick's play and age and all that kind of stuff, even though it was mostly phony. But there's no excuse. Eric Reed is good, young safety. And he's still unemployed.
Let me.
And we just talked to the. We just talked to the Broncos beat writer. I'm not saying they have to sign him, but we just talked to the Broncos beat writer, and he suggested that they're lacking depth at defensive back. They're not the only team. It doesn't have to be the Broncos. They're not the only team lacking depth in the secondary. And they went with Kenny Vaccaro over Eric Reed. Not a bad player, but he's disappointing based on where the Saints drafted him. So,
just quickly,
it's a tough blow for them. You know, the Titans have had some defensive back issues for the last couple of seasons. They bring in Butler. They have Cyprien there. Cyprien's now out, but whatever. So Vaccaro and Butler, two basically new additions to that team for 2018.
Just on what you were saying about Eric Reed, Rappaport tweeted out, the Titans plan to bring in safety Eric Reed, but multiple flight cancellations kept him from coming in. When the interest picked up from other teams in Kenny Vaccaro, Tennessee felt that they needed to move to keep from losing him. They had a good talk with Reed, and he remains an option down the road. So, you know, I mean, flights were canceled.
It's always something. I flew this week, and there was tons of weather on the East Coast, so I actually buy that story. And I'm sure Eric Reed didn't cancel the flights himself, but I flew to and from Florida this week, and the weather was really rough. So anyway,
it did jump out at me that they were going to meet with Eric Reed, because he's not as at the front of it as Kaepernick, but I mean, his link to it is undeniable. It's why he does not have a job.
That's why. That is why.
Yeah.
He'd have a job otherwise. If he was not connected in any way, he'd already be on a team. He could potentially even be starting. So here we go. So Broncos.
Yeah.
We'll do a couple minutes on the Broncos. Ryan did a great job. Ryan O'Halloran from the Denver Post did a great job really getting us all the info we needed. We got through more questions than we normally get through. You know, he was synced and gave us a lot of good information. But I think, look, I dropped some stats, and I think he gave us a sense that obviously this time of year, everybody's positive. Everybody's going to the Super Bowl, and everybody's going to score a million points and lead the league in sacks and turnovers and all that kind of stuff. So forcing turnovers. But I think we know that that quarterback play was so bad, their field position was so bad on a regular basis that, as I said, even if you just stabilize it and they're towards the middle of the pack in passing offense and not turning the ball over, they should pick up another four wins. They went 5-11 last year with all that going on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's one of the least debated thing that anyone would say about sports is that quarterback is the most important position in football. I've never even heard the hottest of hot take artists try and say anything otherwise. It impacts you in every single way. And regardless of your opinion of Case Keenum, you cannot be of the opinion that they did anything other than improve at that position, which helps the wide receivers, the tight end, the running game, and the defense. It all trickles down. And I've said it once. I said it during the interview. I'll say it every single time. Jeff Fisher attempted to ruin the career of as many quarterbacks as possible. But last year, more than any year ever, captured just how horrible of a coach he was. When Nick Foles was the Super Bowl MVP, Case Keenum went to the NFC Championship, and Jared Goff was the quarterback for the highest scoring offense in all of football. And all three of them looked completely useless with him as their head coach. So I think that Case Keenum is a lot closer to what we saw in Minnesota.
Yeah, look.
Bless you.
Do you think he can repeat what he did in Minnesota?
I do. I do. Because, I think some people might look at it and think the situation.
That's a good season. They would win the division if he played like that.
I'm not ruling them. I think that I like the Chargers roster. I have to go through the schedules to see how they fill out. I know it sounds goofy, but I cannot get past the Chargers injury
the
bug.
Schedule right now. Let's do it.
It's good. Let's do it.
I get it. So I don't want to cut you off, but let's do one game by game. We did this yesterday. I did this with Scott and Jake on the Ravens and Bears. But here they are. They start out little home cooking, hosting Seattle and Oakland in the first two games.
Love that.
So gimme, you got to say win-loss.
Win.
All right, 2-0 at Baltimore.
Win.
Oh, gosh, here we go. Hosting the Chiefs.
Monday Night Football. I mean, they're home. You know, that's where things start to get tough to start 4-0, but I would favor them in that game.
So 4-0 at the Jets.
I can't pick the Jets to beat any team that I think has playoff potential.
So you have the Broncos at 5-0. Then they host the Rams. Why don't you just make them 6-0?
I'd rather not at that point.
You're not beating the Rams.
I didn't say they were. Well, how do you feel though? Because you're honing the spotlight in on me. What do you have through the first five?
They are 3-2.
What are the losses? It's very easy to paint a nice broad brush of a 3-2.
I think they'd go to Baltimore. I think they'd go to Baltimore and lose, and they're not better than the Chiefs to me on paper. I understand the home component, but I have to play some odds here. And to have them 3-0 against Seattle, Oakland, and Kansas City is a bit much. So I'm going to have them losing one of those games. I'll just say it's the Chiefs. I'll have them beating the Jets. So they're 3-2. Then they play the Rams. For me, they're 3-3. Where do you have them?
I would then put them to 5-1.
You have them 6-0?
No.
Okay.
We have to think about this with the Baltimore and Kansas City. Do not forget how good this Denver defense is. Joe Flacco, your boy, Pat Mahomes are going to be in for long days. Boy. Joe Flacco's your boy. You're big on Joe Flacco.
Two guys that are not my boys.
You're big on Pat Mahomes at all, but you're big on Joe Flacco.
I hope he stays a Ravens quarterback forever as a Steelers fan.
You should. That's why he's your boy. That's why you want him to start.
Yeah, I do hope that. I do. I have a personal investment in Joe Flacco staying quarterback forever. So then they go to Arizona.
Arizona's another one of my sleeper teams.
I'll give them that one. I'm. You and I are higher on Arizona than others are.
I have to send you this template that I have. No. I have to
4-3. Give me a sec. We got it. Let's stop ADHD right now. Let's just go. We got one thing going on. I'm
telling you,
I hear you
because you got to count bye weeks, travel, so many things. Yeah, sure. They beat Arizona
4-2. I have them at 4-3 after the Arizona game. You have them at 5-2, 2-game losing streak.
Yeah. Well, Thursday night football on
at Kansas City. That's a loss. At Kansas City, it's a loss, 4-4. So you have them on a 3-game losing streak.
No, I think, 5-3.
Then they play Houston at home. I'll give them that win.
Von Miller, 5-sack game.
So 5-4. I got to keep track of my own. So you let me know where you're at right now.
I'm at 6-3.
I think you have them at 6-3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 5-4. Then bye week. Then at Chargers, 5-5.
I like a team coming off a bye week.
They host the Steelers. Okay. But it's on the road. At the stadium where there's not a big home field advantage. Mm-hmm. That would be a big one. But I'm going to have them splitting the Chargers. They're going to play Chargers at home week 17. So then they go to the Steelers, loss there. So I have them at 5-6 at Cincinnati. I'll give them a win there, a good road win. 6-6 at the Niners.
Yeah, where are we at? 8-5. That's a loss to San Fran.
I'll have them 6-7 here because then they play the Browns and at the Raiders. I'll give them both wins there.
Mm.
So I have them 8-7 going into week 17, hosting the Chargers.
10-6 for me.
That could be a win. Yeah. So I actually have them.
What'd you end up with? 9-7?
Right there. I think officially it was 9-7. But I fudged it a little bit there at the end. It could be, you know, the end of the season isn't tough. No, I'm saying the end of the season's opponents aren't great. It's at Niners, Browns, at Raiders, Chargers. So it's not easy, but it's not brutal. They're not traveling that far. Those aren't the class of the league at the moment. But I've seen some people have the Chargers at 11-5 before this injury bug hit, and the Niners are obviously hot talk for everyone. So so there you go.
I think.
But, I probably have them. If I really do this again, I think I probably have them at 8-8, but 9-7, like, not crazy. Would I bet on them at over 7.5? Right now it's plus money on the over. -135 on the under.
Get that over, baby. Hmm.
So Vegas actually does not like them.
No, they do not.
Or the over.
I think
just to give you a sense of what I'm looking at now, and this could change, the strongest odds, the longest odds, excuse me, the shortest odds are the Bills under. Vegas has it -190. Bills under 6.5. So Vegas really doesn't like the Bills. As far as the overs are concerned, well, look at that. Cardinals at 5.5. That's an expensive over. Let me see. Anybody else? Patriots over is expensive at over 11. How about that? The two teams, despite the fact that the Cardinals have the longest odds to make the playoffs in the whole league, their over on 5.5 is an expensive bet, and that favors what you and I have been saying, that people are off the Cardinals in such a way that it's expensive. Actually, there is one bet more expensive. The Texans over 8.5, so Vegas likes that.
Oh my! Wait, so that means that it's better for me to bet the under?
And we're about to get into it.
I'm about to start.
So let me give you example. Let me give you an example of how this would work. So I'm in this competition for over unders. You can use the Vegas board as a guide as to what the public really likes and what Vegas currently has as the more expensive bets. So I'm not laying out 160 on the Texans to win 100. I'm just picking them. And when I see that it's an expensive bet, the Bills under, that means that's a strong under where the line is set right now. And when I see the Texans over at minus 160, that's a strong over. It means that it's really heavily leaning that way. Whereas, for example, the Chargers are set at 9.5. That's even money on the over, minus 120 on the under. That's not a huge fluctuation. They think they got it about right. Dallas, minus 110 on both sides at 8.5 means that it's the odd. They think they have it right on the money, and the fans haven't loaded money one way or the other. So that's where it's at right now. I may get a more updated one, just what I happen to be looking at right now. But last year, the longest odds were the Jets, and it was like minus 250 for the Jets to be under 4.5, and they went over. The Jets went over last year with their fifth win. And what was funny about the Jets is like they almost got to 5 wins in the first half of the season, and they were on a huge losing streak and only won one game the rest of the year. I think they lost 7 of their last 8, so maybe 8 of their last 9, and had cleared the over early, and then lost every other game. Flip side of that, the Niners were 0-9, and then ended up with 5 wins by the end of the year. You know, they ripped off a huge win streak when Jimmy G came in. So there you go. That's a little bit about over-unders and where we are in the Broncos. So, and we'll do this for each AFC South team as well. We didn't get to any of the Hall of Fame stuff, so we'll try and do it later.
Let me just quickly on Denver. Quickly, 2-part question. Quickly, do you think that they are a top 10 defense next year?
Yeah, I'll give them that.
Okay. They ranked 31st in offensive DVOA. The year before that, they were 28th. With the addition of Case Keenum, is it fair to say that they can finish within the top 20 of offenses? Or does that still feel a little high?
Yes.
It feels high?
It may be a little high, but you asked me, could they finish in the top 20? So I'll say yeah.
Okay, because if they end up...
Because the offensive line, if the offensive line stays healthy, they have improved it. It was a huge problem for them the last couple of seasons. Like, since they won the Super Bowl, it continued to fall apart. So I do think that's very helpful for them. And I think the one negative that we got out of the Ryan O'Halloran interview is that this is a committee right now. He's on the Royce Freeman bandwagon, but there's no sense at this moment that he's got that job. Am I right about what you took from the interview?
Yeah, but also the Courtland Sutton stuff and the Jake Butt stuff. Fantasy and on-field seem very relevant.
I'm just talking in terms of the running game.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, but it's
okay.
Interesting stuff.
All right, we'll come back. We'll talk AFC South right after this. Mm-hmm.